Helen, good morning.
Morning, Nathaniel.
So, Helen, how exactly do immune checkpoint inhibitors work?
So, the idea with immune checkpoint inhibitors is that you're trying to reinvigorate your immune system. So, our immune system protects us from a lot of different foreign antigens, but it also protects us from cancer. And in cancer, what normally happens is somehow the cancer has managed to escape that natural system. And immune checkpoint inhibitors stimulate that immune system. So they recognize the cancer, they recognize it as being foreign, and they can start to attack it and kill it.
Well, how does this new form of treatment differ from chemotherapy?
So chemotherapy really has never been specific for cancer. It's essentially targeting a rapidly growing cell. So it's a blunt instrument. It causes a lot of side effects because it will actually cause cell death of cells that are perfectly normal. And in terms of melanoma, although we used chemotherapy prior to 2010, we actually never saw an improvement in the survival of patients with advanced melanoma. So at least in that cancer, it hasn't been effective. So the way I would compare them is something that's a very crude, non-specific instrument to something that actually is trying to target the cancer quite specifically.
And then immune checkpoint inhibitors aren't as destructive?
They do have side effects, there's no doubt about it. If you imagine that you're stimulating a natural system that is there to detect anything as foreign, and you're stimulating that. Now, the cancer cell will look different to normal cells to that immune system. And so that part of the equation is fine. The immune system may recognize the cancer and will start to destroy it. The problem is because we've stimulated this natural system, you may actually get some side effects. In other words, the immune system may also start to recognize things that are not foreign, a normal cell. And so there is no doubt that if you overstimulate this system, patients do get side effects, and that's one of the big issues. We don't know which patients will actually get quite serious adverse events. And then there are patients that show no symptoms that are non-specific. So it's certainly one of the big things that we have to work on, because the side effects can be actually lifelong and quite debilitating.
Well, what kind of side effects are we looking at?
I'm not a clinician, so I've only heard about these things from clinicians, but you can get inflammation of the bowel, which can be very serious, skin lesions, rashes, fatigue, which can be quite debilitating as well. Now, they're mostly manageable, I have to say, that clinicians can give steroids and manage the patients, and they may be discontinued from the immune therapy, at least temporarily. So in the most instances, they are manageable, but they can be quite serious for the patient.
Right. Now, if you've just tuned into The Daily this morning, we're joined by cancer cell biologist Helen Rizos discussing a recent breakthrough in treating skin cancer. So, Helen, how significant is this breakthrough for the treatment of melanoma?
Well, like I said before, prior to 2010, we couldn't actually treat patients with advanced melanoma and extend their life. And now we've got patients who may have really died within a year of being diagnosed, and some of them are alive 10 years later. And clinicians tell me that they think that we might actually be curing up to 20% of these patients, and that's phenomenal. So apart from having quite durable responses in a subset, other patients seem to be completely clear of the disease after many, many years of treatment. And that's never happened before in this disease.
Wow, that sounds so fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, what stage of testing is the treatment currently at?
So in Australia, these drugs are approved for the treatment of patients with advanced melanoma. But they really work well in maybe 40% of patients. So for those patients, we have an effective therapy. The problem we have, of course, is we don't know which 40% of patients will respond. So that's one big issue that we're working on. And then the second problem, of course, we've got is that some of the patients that do respond will ultimately relapse. In other words, the cancer will start to progress even though they're being treated. And so we call that acquired resistance. And so the next big thing that we're trying to resolve is, well, what do you treat those patients with? Why are they failing therapy? And then what can we give them to reinstate that response? So I suppose there are two groups of patients, the ones that don't respond initially when you first treat them, and then the ones that respond but later on relapse. And so both of those sides of the coin have to be looked at.
Could this research on melanoma potentially be translated to treat other forms of cancer in the future?
So in fact, the immunotherapies that we're talking about, the one in particular, which is an anti-PD-1 based therapy, has already been approved for many different cancers and is effective, for example, in some lung cancers, some cervical cancers. I'm trying to remember all the other cancers now. I think bladder was another one. So lots of different cancers actually can respond to these treatments. There are other cancers that it hasn't been so effective. For example, advanced brain cancer, not so effective. There's a particular type of melanoma that affects the eye, uveal melanoma, doesn't work so well in those cancers. And so scientists and clinicians are trying to work out, well, what can we tweak in terms of the treatment strategy to make these immune therapies work in these cancers that are not being recognized by the immune system, even if we were to stimulate it.
Right. Well, it does at least still sound like a good start for a lot of different types of cancers. Helen, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
It's a pleasure, Nathaniel.
Thank you so much for your work as well.
Thanks.